Welcome to the 141st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis.
It is me. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. This palindromic episode.
141. Yeah. Yes. It was 311 recently, and it was 310 before that. It was Mario Day, and then it was 311 Day, and now it's Pi Day that we're recording this.
Absolutely.
So just a great set of fake holidays right there, right in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today, we are joined by two guests that we've been wanting to have on for quite some time, and we waited basically till the perfect time, which was the time that they have to promote their Kickstarter. It is Ostrich Colony Comics, right? Am I getting that right?
That's right. That
is Anthony LaFusi and Steven Wildcard. Welcome to the No-No.
Hey, thanks for having us. We appreciate
it. Sure. We do appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. So you guys have been busy with your podcast, We Have Issues, which is a video podcast on YouTube.
Yes.
Can you get that audio only anywhere, or is it just YouTube?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it should be everywhere, basically. You know, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, all those, you know, everywhere that podcasts are available, and you should be able to find it.
And the title is not only a remark on your state of mental health, but also descriptive of what you guys are doing over there, which is comics.
Yes, 100%. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. So you've been cataloging the process of a new project, right?
Yeah, the whole time. Steven and I have been trying to make comics together for, I mean, almost 20 years at this point. And, you know, life has always gotten in the way. So we decided just to get together this time and just chronicle the entire event, you know, just knowing that we're both parents, we both have, you know, various issues, we have dating lives and relationships and such. So yeah, so now we're making something together finally, and we're doing it every week on a podcast.
Right. And what's that, what's the project that's been kind of taking up the majority of your creative time? I know you've been doing different pitches for different stories and stuff like that on the podcast, so it's not just solely focused on one project, but you do have like a main thing that you're going up for right now, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, tell him about it, Steven. What is it?
Play It Again. I don't say it every week, so I'm going to do my best. Play It Again is a semi-autobiographical, time-traveling musical graphic novella. Close?
Nailed it. We did this.
Yeah, see, Steven, see, you got the real deal there. There's no bullshit on that one.
That's right.
That is what
That's
it
right.
is. Yeah.
That was the thing. I think mine's too hokey. I'm so used to saying it, so I wanted to hear it, you know, from Steven.
Yeah.
It's natural.
And it's kind of a slice of life, autobiographical type thing, but with this kind of, like, crazy creative sci-fi bent that is also multimedia, right?
It is, actually. Yeah, it's really weird. It's based on a very terrible, ridiculous breakup that I had, and it's the main idea is the character in the story is going through a breakup, packing all of his belongings after, you know, his whole life has been, you know, torn asunder. So he's about to move out, and as he's doing this, he puts on a record, and the record player begins to glow, and these magical tendrils come out and basically suck him into the record player, throwing him back into the past. And he's forced to relive moments that the songs on the record remind him of.
Right,
basically.
On.
So,
and you've been writing it. Steven's doing the artwork. And compliments on the artwork, Steven. I love the layouts. Very creative, cool layouts you got going on in this. Especially.
I appreciate that very much. Yeah. It's always intimidating starting a new page. I always never feel like I'm going to like be up to snuff from even my past self. So like every time I do a new page, I always get like, oh, I did another one. You know,
yeah.
It's funny.
I don't know. Maybe that's driving you in a sense, you know, like if always seeking the next level. I think that's a good way to work, basically.
For sure.
Yeah. So we'll post the link to the Kickstarter for that project in the episode links for this episode. Today, you're joining us for trivia. You are both huge pop culture music junkies. Obviously, the project involves music. Steven, for those of you watching the video version of this or not watching the video version, Steven has a wall of guitars behind him. Very excited to hear some of that music. But did you bring any particular topics to talk about on trivia today?
Well, it'd be on brand for us in our podcast to focus specifically on ostriches and the Lost Boys. So that's what we've brought.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, Lost Boys the movie.
Yes.
There was a sequel, wasn't there? I don't want to spoil any questions. Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, there were a couple of sequels. Yeah.
Mark, have you seen the Lost Boys?
It has been a very, I'll be no help. It's been too long.
I'll let you know. I handled the Lost Boys questions, and at the very least, I know that you don't, at least one of them, you don't have to have seen the Lost Boys to be able to suss out.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Mark, do you feel like spoiling any of your categories today?
Music and some other stuff.
Oh, right on. I don't think I have any music questions.
Not big. We got this.
Got some a question about merchandising. The Ignoble Prizes? Have you guys heard of the Ignoble Prizes?
No.
Nobel. Not the Nobel Prizes. The Ignoble Prizes.
Ignoble Prizes.
Oh, okay. Prizes. Well, we'll learn something then. Sports rules, yeah. The occult, and animals of Africa. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But before we get to our quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up, Mark?
Sounds good.
Okay, on Monday, we were back on Twitch for our 116th virtual quiz. We had 14 competitors. Overall, our new proverbial lightkeeper, Adam, a.k.a. Warring Hearts on Twitch, came in third with 198,332 points. Apple 30309 came in second place with 281,063 points. Our overall winner, Grantastic Glenn, 299,062 points. Nice score from Glenn there. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
I wish I could tell you. For some reason, my phone, all of my scores are wrong on it, and I don't know exactly what's happening. I will tell you that it was a complete shit show. It was the first live one that we did at the new Nice Guys spot, and there was a lot of PA malfunction. We only had two teams on Zoom this week, Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt and Whiskey Tango, but they were both extremely patient, making sure that... just being kind and being courteous while I tried to get everything sorted. We had speakers that weren't working, et cetera, et cetera. We finally got everything together. And I believe it was a team of Seth, Elise, Max, and I believe Christian who came out. Yeah, it was a super
Mega
team.
Mind.
They did not win the second round, I don't think. They won the first and they won the third. But yeah, they definitely crushed it.
Right on. Well, on Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, we had a very busy night. 20 teams, as well as some team name confusion. Instead of the People's Front of Judea doubling up this week, we had two teams signed up as we thought this was speed dating. One team left after the first round, so I think they might have been serious about that. And it was just a wild night, basically. While I was loading in, there was like this team of seven older people who approached me. They started asking a ton of questions about the trivia. They wanted to know, can we get any hints? And I was like, yeah, if you go on Facebook and go to our page, we post a hint before the trivia. And they were like, is this it? They were like trying to find it. And I was like, man, and like asking before we started, like, are there multiple choice? Is it write in? I was like, it's crazy. People just want to know about this trivia. And then there was like another lady that was sitting at the bar, and I tried to give her an answer sheet, and she was like, no, thank you. Very cold. And I was like, all right, whatever, you know, so moved on. But then at the end of the night, Katie, one of the bartenders over at Pointy Bell, she was like, I think she was doing like some kind of surveillance. She was like asking all sorts of questions about the format of your trivia and like the hours that it is and stuff like that. So I don't know if it was a review or another trivia company. That's what they thought over at Pointy Bell. They're like, somebody's scoping you out. And I'm like, maybe it's a feature in like a magazine or something. Hit me up, Gulf Shore Life. I'm just saying, hit me up. But yeah, I had some a dubious question this week, though, that I'm actually going to throw you during the Rate My Question. We're just going to focus on this one question because we actually got a long written feedback from Evan about that. But as far as score goes, in-house, the first place went to Rancho Cucamonga, who won by a single point. The second round went to GC with 28 points, but Rancho was back on the top in round three, earning 14 points that round. They were tied with 5 o'clock somewhere. But they walked out right before I announced the winners for some reason. So they did not get the prize. Overall, our total quiz winner was Roll Tide, who ended the quiz with 61 points, GC in second place with 58 points, and Hinge in third with 49 points. Shout out also to League of Shadows, who made their glorious return after a few weeks off, and our out-of-towner teams, Michigan, who said they'd be they wanted to check out the podcast. So shout out to Team Michigan on that. In online competition, the People's Front of Judea won with 121 points. Insane Clown Pussies came in second place with 100 points. And Ryan Schindler, MPA, playing under the team name Pink Lasagna 2, Electric Boogaloo, in third place with 88 points that night. Shout out also to Sweet Blasphemy and Dr. Evil MD for joining us.
Also, two things I want to mention. Whiskey Tango, of course, winning the night on Zoom for my trivia. Another thing, I had someone return, Lee. POA.
Oh, really? POA came back, huh?
POA.
Any more feedback on your questions? Did she buy a TV yet?
She apologized profusely.
Oh, really?
For the way that she acted.
And if you don't know, said, folks, listen to our last episode, the weekly wrap-up. You can get the full story there.
Was it last week or the week before?
It might have been the week before. Okay.
Because last week is when I did all strictly online. Yes, 139. Yep. She gave me a hard time on my trivia, saying it wasn't hard. It was just all had to do with TV. She wrote down, I don't have a TV for every one of her answers, as well as telling me that some of my questions, only trash people would know them. She came back. I walked in. Much to my surprise, I saw her sitting at the bar. She came up to me and she said, I was such a jerk to you. And I am so sorry I was that rude. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. And she's like, she tried to give me money. She had like some singles.
I have some gold.
And she was like, here.
I could make an offering of gold.
And I was like, I don't need any money. And she's like, well, I didn't tip you. I go, I don't take tips. It's fine. I'm paid for what I do here. You're fine. I was like, I really appreciate you saying something. It means a lot to me, and that's all I need. And she was like, all right. And then, you know, she went to the bar. I did not give her an answer sheet. I completely bypassed her. And she left a couple questions in, and she gave me a little wave. And so Elise and Seth both got to see her and bask in the glory. Seth did a little dance with her when she was trying to leave. He was walking in, and they did a little little football juke move, and yeah, so we'll see if she ends up coming back and playing. Probably not, but she did the right thing.
All's well that ends well.
Mm-hmm.
At least in this context.
Yes.
Friday night, we surprise streamed two quizzes on Twitch. The first, number 117, going to Whiskey Tango DC, who ended with 201,288 points. Quiz number 118 was won by Grantastic Glenn with 206,835 points. And then we went back for more on Saturday. Two more quizzes. 119 and 120. Sweet Blasphemy pulling off a double header for those quizzes. 107,912 points and 127,465 points, respectively. Whiskey Tango and Baja Men Tribute Band Alex performing well on those quizzes as well. All in all, a very exciting week. And if you want to join us, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, March 15th, we return to Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern, daylight savings time. Unfortunately, we got struck with it. It's not Eastern time. It's EDT, 8 p.m. EDT, with a new quiz based on your request. Topics including 2000s frat pack movies, Pokemon, Disney sidekicks, historically bad haircuts, Pixar shorts, RuPaul's Drag Race, and more. I had somebody, I asked a question, which celebrity hosts their own Drag Race reality series, as well as several spinoffs. And this lady came up to me and she was like, do you mean Drag Race like vroom vroom or Drag Race like, and did like a little pose. And I was like, okay. You got to figure that one out. I'm sorry, but I appreciate your effort there. Anyways, we're back on Twitch Monday, March 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings time on Twitch. This Wednesday, March 17th, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 311th pub quiz. Amber is the color of your energy. 311,
it
totally, baby.
It very much. And make sure when you go there that you come original.
Yes, please, please. And I hope you're down for some trivia, of course, and not all mixed up, because you know the answers, of course. We'll be asking questions based on our players' category requests about sports, anime, OnlyFans stars, paranormal things, 90s TV, Disney movies, and more. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Pointy Bell Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., or play along on our Twitch channel. If you're in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at the new Nice Guys Pizza location in Cape Coral, very close to the old location, or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. Join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? All right. What a wrap up.
That
should
was,
wrap that wrap up.
What you got? So you're swimming in questions. You got so many questions. You're just doing trivia out the wazoo.
I had some time to myself this weekend, rarely, and I was like, I'm just gonna go on Twitch, host some trivia.
You know, I got some time to actually sit down and relax. I'm just gonna throw together two trivias instead of hanging out.
You know, you gotta love the game. To love the game.
Hey.
All right, let's take a little break, and then we will jump right into trivia with Anthony and Steven, round one. We're back. Mark, if you wouldn't mind kicking off our trivia for round one.
Shit, yeah. All right. Here's your first question. What alt-rock band, headed by singer Ed Roland, used a modified Sweeney Todd logo on the cover of its 1993 debut album?
Whew.
Okay.
Ed Roland.
Ed Roland. Oh,
there are famous Eds in music. Alternative rock. Live has a famous Ed, but that's not the Ed that we're looking for. I can't remember his last name, but it's not Roland.
And 93. So, mm-hmm. That's within all of our timelines. We would have.
His name sounds so familiar. Modified Sweeney Todd logo.
Sweeney Todd logo. That's what I'm trying to
think. I don't know
of.
What that looks
What's
like.
A Sweeney Todd logo, though? Yeah.
A barber's thing? Is, like a.
An actual shaver? Razor or a,
yeah,
like
a razor. That's it. A shaver.
Well, obviously, thing that barbers use.
Is it shave blade? Is it shave blade?
Shave.
Is that the name of the band?
So okay.
Isn't there an Ed in the Bare Naked Ladies?
If,
but that's
I can't
a,
think of
a very threatening aura.
Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies is the band name, and Sweeney Todd logo Sweeney is the Todd? Artwork. No, Ed Roland.
Well,
the Eels. No,
I can't. I that name doesn't ring any bells to me. I mean, I'm thinking of Henry Rollins, and like obviously that's not the thing. That's not what we're supposed to be thinking of. So
yeah, it's not Black Flag. That was the 80s.
It's not Black Flag. Yeah. So, Ed Roland.
And I'm thinking like 93 alternative rock. This has to be like dead smack in like the grunge era, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like it's got to be something around that, something relating to some of those bands.
Mark, did you say it was Ed Roland was the singer?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not Soundgarden. It's not Nirvana. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. Pearl Jam. Unless this is like a tricky question and there's like a first lead singer that we don't know about or something like that.
First lead singer? Like there are two lead singers?
No. Like a original lead singer that they moved on from.
Oh, they're, and they moved on. Yeah. Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A Genesis situation.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
93. Sort of how like there was a Seven the original Mary singer, three. Faith No More, before Mike Patton.
Mm-hmm.
What we got here is a Faith No More situation. I'm not saying that is, but I'm just...
Right.
I'm just saying.
What are some other grunge bands from 93? Days of the New. Creed.
Yeah, my...
Fuel.
Ed that might even be
this is oh my god
93 but yeah this I think is, 93 though like just because it's 93 like a lot of those bands that didn't really find like true popularity like were definitely around in the late 80s and early 90s. I'm trying to think who could possibly is it someone that like that we would know. I mean, is it like fairly mainstream or is would you say it's a little bit more underground?
I recognize this name.
Okay,
this is itching my brain right now. Ed Roland. I don't think it's the guy from the Eels. He has a famous father that was a scientist.
Novocaine mm-hmm. for the soul.
Right. The Toadies?
Oh.
You know that band, the Toadies? Mm-hmm. Do you wanna dance?
Terrible song.
I know that was their name, but I do know that song.
Yeah. Is that guy's named Ed Roland?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like why Sweeney Todd. If there's some sort of like silly reason for
yeah,
the
like
band
why
name
would he reference it? It's yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can answer the question
like it's
or
hint.
Something to do with barbers or it's a hint of some sort. That's what I was wondering.
That would be cool. I don't know much about Sweeney Todd. Do you know like is there like groups like maybe organized crime groups or something that might lend its name to the group? You know. I guess he kind of worked alone, right?
He worked alone. Yeah, that's the thing. It was all about vengeance. Mm-hmm.
This adds absolutely nothing to the possibility of answering the question, but I share the same last name as Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yeah. Wild card, right? Sweeney Todd Wildcard.
No.
Sweeney Wildcard, I believe, was his first name. So
his that was the first name. Singer. Yeah. Oh, I can't do anything.
I want to go with the Toadies just because I don't know what that guy's name is at all.
I have nothing to add, so I'm gonna I will back you on that.
For you, yeah.
100%. Maybe it's Toad the Wet Sprocket. Maybe it's a British thing because they were named after a Monty Python sketch. Ed Roland. Toad the Wet Sprocket. I mean, that's early 90s, right?
Sweeney Todd and the Wet Sprocket. Sprocket, obviously. Yeah. That's what this is.
I don't know. The Toad thing is just throwing me off. I don't know what we should go with here.
You're just all about the Toads right now. So.
But maybe the Do You Want to Die, maybe it was like sung from the perspective of Sweeney Todd. Maybe he was like getting really deep with the album logo and everything. Maybe that's what's going on.
The Toddies. Oh my gosh, is it a concept?
Yeah, the Sweeney Toddies.
Let's go with it. The Toadies.
The Toadies.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry. Good sus, guys, but incorrect. If I told you that the album title was named after a Paul Simon lyric, would you know?
No, I would not be able to add anything. No, that's that.
I mean, I would need more time to sus on that one. There's so many Paul Simon lyrics.
Oh, this is not, of course, this is not going to work because I have a really cool background. I'm using my
lawnmower man
background.
Mark is the lawnmower man right now. He's in there.
I am
in
the
VR.
Lawnmower man. I'm trying desperately to get out of the internet.
Please, you fools that have Oculuses and Vives, you just need a copy of Zoom. That's all you need to be in VR.
It is collective souls, hints, allegations, and things left unsaid.
No!
Was the correct answer.
No! I hate that I didn't get that. Good one. That's a great one.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if that's a great for general. I mean, sure, it's good for general knowledge, but that one stings for me.
Yeah, you right in your wheelhouse. So I was wondering, in the hit song, whatever the hell it's called. You can call me Al. One of the lyrics is there were hints and allegations, and I knew that album was called Hints and Allegations and Things Left Unsaid.
I think you've dropped that on the podcast before.
I think I have. Yeah. So I looked at the Wikipedia article and happened to see that. Oh, guess what? This background, this cover was based off of a Sweeney Todd, a 1979 poster. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting.
Awesome. Great question.
Thank you.
I'm doing that thing. I hate that I didn't get it right, but that's, you know.
And Collective Soul is definitely a band that everyone wouldn't have known, too. That was
And the alt rock thing, you know, because you guys started kind of sniffing around grunge, and I was like, I'm really glad I said alt rock because they're not grungy, but they're definitely all that alternative edge.
That is a good detail in that question. All right, merchandising. Got a merchandising question for you guys.
Merchandising.
Debuting in 1919, which was the first cartoon character to be mass merchandised? Debuting in 1919, which was the first cartoon character to be mass merchandised?
Now, boys, correct me if I'm wrong. Steamboat Mickey was the 20s, right?
I'm thinking of... The first thing that came to my head was Felix the Cat. I don't know.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The first one that
I'm not sure.
First one that came to my mind was Betty Boop.
See, that's the okay. Ooh, that was, there you go. One. That's another good one. That's probably all right. I'm as far as merchandising, they're both really strong. But which one came first, Betty Boop?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Like positively,
that's she could have even come too soon. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, she could have come even.
I know that. Both of them had a reemergence with merchandising like later on, obviously. You know? Right. But which one was the first?
I would say, well, yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean if it was more successful, because I would say Betty Boop was probably more successful than Felix. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean anything at first.
And also, we're kind of like creating a false dichotomy, possibly. And we should, like, are there any others before we, like,
trying to think of, like, what kind of merchandising it would be.
There you go.
You know, mass merchandise, like t-shirts, I guess.
Also, I'm sorry. Hey, Lee, the question, was it about an animated character or a cartoon, like an illustrated character?
I said cartoon character.
Okay.
Mm. So.
But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, not an animated
character. Animated, that's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it could be one that's not animated, perhaps?
It could
like
be.
Like something, it could be. I don't want to,
Could be like a comic strip, like a...
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Hagar the Horrible.
That would be a strong start for Hagar. Like, beating up peanuts. Like, oh, Hagar is an ancient cartoon character, basically.
Yeah, he's the first. We all evolved from Hagar, obviously.
Betty Boop, Felix, Hagar.
Hagar.
Of course, never forget. The Longhorns.
The pyramids, there's hieroglyphics. You see Ziggy.
Kathy.
There's that guy.
Kathy trying on a sundress.
Oh my goodness.
Arg.
Looking at the price and screaming arg. You know, I mean, I don't know when Mickey Mouse came out, but obviously, like, something Disney related is possible. Betty Boop, I just feel like, has such a like a very specific fanatic following. And I know that it's old. I know she's been around for a long time.
She seems to have like the it's not flapper feel, but it's something like, she's like a cigarette girl, right?
She's like, yeah, I'm, she's flapper adjacent. She's
like flapper adjacent, right? I'm trying to think of like, I'm just trying to figure out when the year would be, but I love that answer. I think that you're probably right with her.
Yeah,
I don't know. Go ahead.
And the double down, like, I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive Steamboat Mickey, that like his first airing and like merchandising on that front, I think that's all in the 20s. And I believe it was, what did you say, 1919?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 1919.
So I'm going to say, I think Mickey's just completely out of it. And I think Betty Boop is a good push. But Felix is also, I know Felix is like one of the oldest cartoon characters, but that's also a solid one. So I support either one of you. Whichever one of you decides to back the other one, I will back. I will not have a dissenting voice.
Well, shit. I don't know. What are you thinking,
Anthony?
Because
like Felix is old.
I know Felix is
old. It's old. And Betty Boop is almost, the swagger that she has is maybe more Roaring 20s. Also, maybe 30s. I don't know.
And I know that there were different renditions of Felix the Cat too. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's killing me.
You want to go with Felix?
I'd hate to go with Felix and then have it be Betty Boop. But
hey, I'll tell you, I'd hate to go with Betty Boop and have it to be Felix.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll go. I'll take the L just in case.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure, back Felix.
Right, we're gonna say Felix the Cat.
You're going to have to take a W on that one, my friend. Yes, Felix the Cat.
Yes,
the correct answer.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. Disputed whether the character was created by Pat Sullivan or his animation studio's lead animator, Otto Mesmer. But by 1923, he was merchandised as ceramics, toys, and postcards, as well as several manufacturers making stuffed Felix toys. Felix was also the first ever high school mascot in the state of Indiana, because a player from the Logan Sport Berries basketball team brought his plush Felix to a basketball game, and the entire like auditorium like rallied around the plush. So Felix became the official mascot, the first official high school sports mascot in Indiana. And when just further adding to the legacy of Felix, when television was in the experimental stages in 1928, which is actually the year that Steamboat Willie came out, with the debut of Mickey Mouse.
Okay, cool. So I was kind
right.
of on the news.
And but. Betty Boop actually 1930, so a bit later after Mickey. Yeah. But when television was in the experimental stages in 1928, the very first image to ever be seen was a toy Felix the Cat mounted to a revolving phonograph table. It remained on screen for hours while engineers used it as a test pattern for TV. So there you go.
But what about like Hagar the Horrible though? Like when did
that was a syndicated strip from
I'm kidding.
You know, just for our listeners though, you know, this is a trivia podcast, so maybe that's we should true, know when Hagar the Horrible debuted. Hagar the Horrible debuted in 1973 by cartoonist Dick Brown for Hell King Feature Syndicate.
Dick Brown. That's that doo-doo sex.
He needs to work with Albert J. Broccoli on the Bond films. Dick Brown and Albert Broccoli. That's a duo right there.
It's a solid duo.
Anthony LaFusi, your first question, please.
Okay, my first question, I have a somewhat of a numbers question, which I didn't think was fair, so I'm just going to word it a little abstractly to give you guys an idea. So my question is based on the film The Lost Boys. So within the film The Lost Boys, what word is said the most? And for bonus points, how many times do you think it's said?
Does this include the soundtrack?
Yes, it includes everything in the movie. Anything you hear in the movie is considerable, yeah.
And let's be fair, the Lost Boys soundtrack is the movie. If you don't know G-Town Max, Cry Little Sister, you're going to hear that song. You're going to hear that song in its entirety multiple times throughout that movie.
I mainly remember like a child choir going like, thou shalt not hurt.
That's exactly the
song we're talking about.
Oh, okay. That's the same song?
Yep, Cry Little Sister. Okay. It's a banger, as the kids would say.
You know, the saxophone player, with the shirtless saxophone player.
Tom Capullo or Tom?
I think so, yeah. I think his name is, Tim maybe?
Like Tom Capullo or Tim Capullo, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so apologies on the name, but he was supposed to come perform in Fort Myers. He was scheduled, and then coronavirus hit and lockdown happened. And we were deprived the ability to pay upwards of $20 a ticket to see the saxophone player from the Lost Boys.
Just inches was of he oil. Planned to, just
I was going to say, was he planning on oiling up? I mean,
all of his promo stuff. Yeah, I think he's maintained, you know.
Good for him.
He knew that this was his moment 30 years ago, 40 years ago at this point.
Come on, it is he's like a multi-instrumentalist, like composer, guys. He's also very sexy. Yeah. If you watch the movie,
he could have still come, but instead of using oil, he could have just used hand sanitizer.
Oh man, he
greased himself up.
That's living in 2021.
How dry do you want
2022
it?
Right there.
You'd smell so fucking bad. All right, so are you well versed on this movie, Steven?
I actually know the answer to this, so I almost feel like it's unfair for me to help. So, or am I just allowed to help? I guess I would be, right?
Well, that's a totally legal move. You're on our team right now, so any help you can give us, we're taking it.
I might even know the bonus portion. But,
now, hold on. Now, if you know the answer, Like, he told you the answer, then you should not.
I didn't tell him.
Okay.
Oh, no. It's like a running joke in the movie. Well, not in the movie, but outside of the movie. People that know that movie, it's like almost like a running...
It's like the Spoons with Rocky Horror Picture Show. Or, yeah, I'm sorry, The Room. There's a different...
I'll start off with a hint, as if I'm not on
your
team.
Well, Rocky Horror Picture Show has all kinds of stuff, like the toast and all that, right? Okay.
Right. So...
All right. It's a name... If that helps.
Uh-huh. So I stalk you guys on Twitter. So is it Michael?
It is Michael.
Or it's related to that?
It's Michael. Michael. You got it.
If you want to do good at trivia, you just got to stalk these guys on Twitter.
That's right.
You
know?
So what's the story there?
Okay. So apparently they say the word or some variation of Michael a ridiculous amount of times. Like, just imagine a reasonable movie in which, you know, people just naturally, organically say one another's names. You'd think... I don't know how many times you'd say it, but one name is said.
Yeah, probably just once or twice, Anthony, right?
A couple of times. Like, I don't think it would be dozens of times per movie. You don't often hear
Anthony.
People say, you know, that's right.
To be fair, Anthony, in our podcast, you literally have moments where you're like, Steven. Let me tell you something. You literally say my name like four times in a row. So,
I'll have you know, the only person's name I actually say aside from my son is basically Steve. I would just say Steven all the time.
That's a 2020 Zoom life right there.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Zoom lifestyle.
But I'll give you the answer. The name Michael is said 118 times.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Is that the main character?
It is insane. It is. Well, he's one of the main characters. Okay. But,
it's mostly said by Kiefer Sutherland, too, right? I would have to imagine.
Oh, no, it's said by everyone. Kiefer Sutherland has one of the fewest lines in the movie, or like one of the fewest portions of dialogue in the movie, actually. And he talks more than any other vampire in the movie, which is pretty funny. Yeah.
Right
the
on.
Cry Little Sister song, there's a lot of information about that that's interesting. I don't have any questions about it, but I did learn the movie... Yeah, I know, but the movie originally was written to be about children. You know, like, they were literally going for the Peter Pan reference of the Lost Boys. So they were all going to be young. Yeah, so they were all just going to be young kids, like laddie's age, the young, small, you know, child. So when they
gave... Attack of Eddie Munster.
Yeah, so when they gave the job to the composer to come up with like a theme song for the movie, he was working based off the script. So that's why there's this like choir of children and all this stuff going on. And he had no chance to see the movie. And like, he actually said afterward, he was like, had I seen the movie, I never would have written that song.
Yeah.
Although, It's an amazing song, so I'm glad he had the script to work with. I wouldn't want to hear the teenaged or young adult version of that song. So.
Yeah. All's well that ends well, in this case anyway.
The running theme. Steven.
Yes, sir.
Ask away, buddy.
So mine's a very basic question, and in fact, I think one of the later portions, it might even fit better there, but it blew my mind how tall they get. How tall does the ostrich, the male specifically, what's the highest height a male ostrich can reach on record?
What do you guys think? 10 feet?
Are we talking butt, or like we're talking head, right?
I guess it's head, right? Well,
It's definitely head, and most of their body is neck.
Mm-hmm. Now, how specific are you wanting? Now, are you wanting feet and inches or to feet?
I'll say if you can say like over. Don't have to get the specific inch. You can say over the foot mark, then I'll give it to you.
I'm picturing myself staring at an ostrich. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm looking up. I'm looking up a bit, man.
Yep.
I'm going to say I'm going to say like 7 feet.
You don't think bigger?
I mean, maybe, but I would say like seven something. I mean, you're 5'11"?
I'm 6 foot, Mark. Come on.
Jesus Christ. Okay, it's fucking close.
I've got my shoes on.
1 inch off. Come on, bro.
No, but I'm just thinking, you know, I've got 8 foot ceilings. If I had a huge ostrich in here, I imagine it'd be smacking its head around this roof.
Do people ride these things? Hard to
They have to. You have to ride an ostrich. I imagine there are races. I don't know that there are. Actually, I'm just going to say there are. There are ostrich races.
Okay, hold on. I thought you said they're racist.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this about ostriches. Okay, well, Steven, yeah. I don't want to step on your toes for your questions later, but ostriches are very racist. Is the thing.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No.
We don't promote them. No. You guys would know. They are not.
Ostriches are canceled. Yeah. In case you were wondering, ostriches, canceled.
Fun fact about them, though. They're very kind to their farmer owners. So,
depending on the color of the farmer.
Oh, man. But yeah, they're supposedly very kind.
All right. Let's say, you think taller than 7 foot? That's taller than, that's like a basketball player.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying.
You want to say 8 or do you want to say like 7 inches?
I guess if we just have to meet a foot. 7, I guess. I
mean, minute bowl.
I'll coldly go along with that and then celebrate if we're right.
What do you think?
So 7 is your final answer?
Hold on. Anthony, I see you looking up. You're a tall bastard.
It's just amazing. I don't think I've ever actually seen an ostrich in person now that I think about it. I've been to the zoo several times.
I was very disappointed to see the video of the ostriches skiing was just CGI. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I didn't see that.
Oh, I'll post the link in the show notes. It's awesome.
I promise you, when we're successful and we have our ostrich, because our plan is to own ostriches. So when we're successful, I will totally get my ostrich to ski.
That's what the real Kickstarter here is.
Yeah, that's the stretch goal, right?
The stretch goal is we get an ostrich. We're going to ride them, mm-hmm. race them. And yeah, then, Steven's going to ride them like jet skis or like...
Anyway, don't forget the skiing equipment.
Yeah, skiing equipment.
Have you guys ever seen the video of the guy punching the kangaroo?
Yes.
The kangaroo's trying to fucking get his dog. Uh-huh. And so the guy goes up and is like, you know, let go of my fucking dog. And he squares up with him and just fucking jukes him in the fucking face.
Dude.
It gets me so hyped every time. Because
dude, in the kangaroo's face. Yeah.
If you have a dog, you understand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for real, I wouldn't go around just punching a kangaroo.
That's what makes it acceptable. Yeah, hilarious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just trying to kidnap.
We're all laughing. There's a kidnap.
You want
to
say 8 feet?
Yeah, I do. I think that's fine.
We're going to say 8 feet.
So like 8 feet. I'm sorry.
8 feet is actually incorrect. This actually blew my mind because when we were initially going to purchase ostriches, we were like, 7 feet. That's like the average height. Which is the average or the high end height for female ostriches. However, the male ostrich. You. The male ostrich reaches heights of 9'2".
Holy shit.
Dude, for perspective, my wife is 5'1", okay? Shaq is 7'1". The difference between Shaq and an ostrich is the same difference between Shaq and my wife. So, like, that's so crazy. Like, Shaq is like just this small thing compared to this bird. Like, we've all used Shaq as like a height reference for things, and like, he's nothing compared to this ostrich. So big.
Now I picture your wife on Shaq's back and Shaq riding an ostrich.
Like, I'm drawing it.
All right, Mark.
You ready for another question?
Yes, please.
Let me get it.
Feed it to us. Feed us the question.
Feed me, please. Here's your second question. What popular Easter time candy originally took 27 hours to create before being purchased by the company Just Born in 1953?
27 hours?
Okay, an Easter candy that takes 27 hours to make.
I imagine the chemical compound of Peeps were probably, well, it's just marshmallow. Never mind. Like, trying to like, oh, well, Peeps are crazy. They're not that crazy.
But to get five of them in a row.
But to be
all attached. It's a lot more tricky than you think, Steven. A lot more tricky than you think.
At least 27 hours to melt these marshmallows together.
Clock's ticking. Time is money. What about Just Born? Has got me thinking about eggs. I'm thinking the Cadbury egg.
Cadbury.
Ooh, yeah.
It's got that cream filling, a egg, you know, shape.
Where was it taking?
Ovocular.
An hours. I mean, just the. Oh.
Well, think about the timing too. The 1950s. Maybe procedures just weren't as easy to fill. Like, you know, create a chocolate shell.
Or are we talking about like churning? Are we talking about like literally making the caramel?
I imagine the whole process, like, probably.
The whole process.
I mean, if I was a business person, that's what I'm looking at, for cost. So I'm looking at, you know, idea to out the door, box ready to go, money on my desk, 5 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, Cadbury egg would have probably...
Otherwise, the chocolate bunny, I mean, that seems rather simple in comparison to the Cadbury egg, because it's not filled with anything.
I feel like you're really overlooking the fact that they could have been painting those Peeps with like a needle or something. They could have just like, you know, like just individual lacing. That's exactly the point is what I'm trying to make here. They were just getting those eyes one at a time. I can see 27 hours if like you're an artist about it. Like Peep artist, the thing.
That's a good point.
You're overlooking it and you're not.
That's a strong point. That is a very strong
point. I don't want
you
to dismiss the artistic integrity of the Peep maker.
My grandfather was a Peep maker. Like his grandfather before him.
Well, if you see actually means peepman, I am a peepman. When you ask me, I say yes. I'm here as a peepman. My father was a peepman.
I eat your marshmallow. I eat it up.
Oh,
there will be peeps.
There will be.
I'm finished.
My boy, eat these peeps. My boy.
When I tell you that I'm a candy man, I think you'll believe me.
I'm thinking the Cadbury egg, though, for real.
Yeah, I'm Cadbury egg too.
I'm going Cadbury too.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Cadbury cream egg.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Yep.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry. The correct answer is a special candy made in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Peep.
Oh my god!
Wait, okay, can you please tell us about this process?
In 1953, back then, each chick was handmade with a pastry tube.
Are you kidding me?
27 hours per peep. The process now takes six minutes to make a peep.
It still takes six minutes to make a peep?
Yes. An average of 5.5 million peeps are made every day. The town of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania has a giant peep that drops for New Year's Eve. And peeps are not the best-selling candy made from Just Born, which is a take on the owner's last name. Mike and Ike's are the best-selling Just Born candy from the
same. So was it Jason Bourne?
Yes,
it was. Do you remember his life? And he was like, "I'm really good at making candy."
Yes, the Bourne identity.
The Bourne. Yeah.
Well, I guess Sam Peep Bourne. On our face.
I can't believe we spent all that time making the most amazing Peep jokes, only to be we would have been right.
We were hoisted by our own Peep tard.
Oh, no. No. I love you.
Ignoble prizes. Why don't we get that? Seems a fitting category here at the end of the first round. Ignoble prizes. The 2004 Ignoble Prize for Biology was awarded to a group of scientists for discovering that herrings communicate by doing what? The 2004 Ignoble Prize for Biology was awarded to a group of scientists for discovering that herrings communicate by doing what?
Okay. All right. So herrings. Oh,
you're peeing. What do they do? What do they do right
this way? I think I know.
Okay. No, tell us, Mark.
So there was just a episode of Radiolab called Red Herring. And in this episode, they were talking about, what country was it? It was maybe like Norway or something. And they were talking about how during the Cold War, like there was somebody out fishing or something like that. And they looked in front of them and there was a giant Russian submarine. And so they were like, hey, don't have your submarines come around here. You know, we're known for being very neutral.
Don't sub around here no more, as the Tom Petty song goes.
Exactly. Yes. Whatever you're looking for. They hence these underwater microphones that they're using to try and find out where these submarines were. And they would always hear this like swishing sound. And they were like, oh, this is a submarine. And Russia was like, what are you talking about? We don't have submarines there. And like, yeah, bullshit. Well, they ended up finding out that the sound was herrings. And what they were doing was they were blowing bubbles. They were making bubbles. And I think that might be the end. I'm not 100% sure, but what they do is, I guess herring don't have the ability to raise and lower like a lot of other fish do. They actually have to expel air and fart. So I think it would be a funny and cute answer. And I
so
see
like the
Lee's got a little smirk going. Like I think that maybe the way that they communicate is farting, so they can raise and lower. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not necessarily communication, but you know, it's kind of a funny answer, and I know that it's hearing related for sure.
I think, I mean, you definitely have the most information on them. So what do you think, Anthony? Anything?
I mean, I started by saying it had something to do with bodily functions, and mm-hmm. we ended up with farting, so I'm happy. I'll go with what Mark said.
All right, we're going to go with farting.
Yeah.
That is correct.
There you go.
Yes. From a Nature.com article. The fish gulp air from the surface and store it in their swim bladder before releasing it from a duct in their anus. The noises probably help fish to communicate in the dark, suggests William Robert Batty from the Scottish Association for Marine Science and Obon, who reported the results last year in Biology Letters. Fish at the front of a shoal may fart to direct other members in a particular direction, helping to keep the school together and away from predators. So these are safety farts. The sounds are not made during the day when the fish use visual information instead. In case you're wondering, yes, the discovery was audible, as Mark pointed out. The scientists, though, that were investigating it said, we heard these rasping noises at night. They sounded like high-pitched raspberries.
Oh, are you talking about the Zerbert?
Yes, the Zerbert, exactly.
High-pitched Zerberts.
Which, you know, it's called a raspberry. That is Cockney slang. That is raspberry tart and then raspberry, because fart rhymes with fart. Yeah.
Yes. So these are, you said, it's a safety fart. It's a safety fart.
Or like that old Isley Brothers song, I keep hearing farting, baby, in the dark. Oh, in the dark.
So when they fart to let the other fish know which direction to go, did the fish follow the direction of the fart or away from the fart?
It's an audible thing because it's in the dark.
It's just an audible. It's in
so
the dark.
It's towards the fart, I think. Because it's the front leader, the bellwether, basically. The bellwether herring is farting, saying, come with me.
Follow the noise.
So be me, a herring, sucking in farts through my gills all day.
The bellwether herring farts to lead you sounds like a Mars Volta lyric.
Or a Collective Soul album title, I think.
That too.
All right, let's take a little break. And then we will be back with, I think, just one miscorrection, unless you got anything, Mark.
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for some miscorrections.
Oh no.
Miscorrections.
So
I'll line it up in post. Don't you worry about that.
Thank Christ.
So small, tiny little self miscorrection here during the milk teeth sus, which I never figured out what milk teeth meant. Did you?
No.
No? Why are they called milk teeth? Why are they called milk teeth? Do you guys know?
I was discussing milk teeth earlier.
Baby teeth?
Yep.
Yes.
What are milk teeth?
That's what I want to know. It's another name for baby teeth, apparently.
I mean, my only guess, I just guessed baby teeth because I assume that babies drinking milk, that's right. What they like, the, you know, you need to drink your milk and you'll grow strong bones.
I guess it's just an age thing. Yeah.
Just an age thing.
You need
thing,
milk at that age. So your baby teeth are also your milk teeth, even though you don't really use your teeth, or you shouldn't. Note to all babies out there, less teeth, please. But during the sus of that question, I said that the band Deer Hunter had a milk record. It's not Deer Hunter. I was thinking of the band Deer Hoof, who has an album titled Milkmen. So just a very slight, tiny miscorrection from my sus there. Don't confuse them. Two different bands, Deer Hunter and Deer Hoof. If you hear something on this podcast that makes you scratch your head and say, I don't think that's quite right, or if you just know that we said something wrong, feel free to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note. You can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
I just found out what milk teeth, how milk teeth got their name. Supposedly.
Go on.
Apparently they are called milk teeth because of the color, because they are whiter than your permanent teeth.
Oh, permanent teeth are like mine.
Pearly white. but milk teeth are naturally whiter in shade.
Nice. Okay.
That's what it says. That makes sense. Here.
Thanks for that info, Mark.
Hmm. Are you ready, Lee?
Yes. Question for you. Sports rules. Sports rules. No,
yes,
sports
does.
Rules. Like the rules
R.I.P.
of the sport.
Drew Brees. Not R.I.P., but he
did he die?
He didn't die, but he is announcing his retirement.
Oh, okay. Well, best of luck to him. In golf, making a hole in one on a par five is known as what? In golf, making a hole in one on a par five is known as what?
Isn't it like something eagle related? Like golden eagle, phrase like that?
Par.
I used to work at a country club. You'd think birdie. I would know this stuff.
Double birdie. Right. So it's par would be if he did it in five, right?
Yeah.
Mark, do you happen to know this?
A par five or a par four, depending on...
I have an idea.
Okay. So if it's par five, so it's five would be par, right? And then right before that would be birdie? And then double birdie? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then does it go straight to eagle? That's where I'm...
I think part of this has to do with what... the par usually is on a five.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know if it always works this way, but this is my inclination is that, you know, all like it's the same amount of, it's the same par on every golf course. And maybe that all the holes correspond with usually the first hole is par three.
Okay.
The second hole is par four, blah, 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 blah. So, getting it in one shot on par on the fifth hole, and the fifth hole is usually like a par five.
Okay.
So it would take that many necessary strokes from the par.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now I know all the things are bird related. There's an albatross.
I've never heard that, so that might even be it.
It also could be an ostrich.
No.
It's definitely the biggest bird.
I mean that's all true. The things are bird related.
But it's because the ball flies. Ostriches don't fly, guys.
they run, and that's my next question.
It is fast. Lee, did you say it was a par five or just hole five?
A par five. Hole in one on a par
five. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said fifth. Okay, so par five.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it is a par five. Yeah, so it's... Okay, so the fifth one would be par. Then I believe it's just birdie right after that. I think double birdie's a thing, but I might be confusing that with double bogey from tennis.
I think you're right. No, I think you're right.
Am I right? Okay.
I think you're right.
And then... I don't think there's a triple birdie. No. I don't think so. There's, I think it.
Oh, well, definitely you, an eagle.
Yeah, I was thinking four would be eagle. I don't know if double eagle is a thing.
I think it sounds crazy, but
I'm going to say ostrich. No, sorry.
Well, so, I mean, albatross is definitely a thing. Now, I don't know if albatross, because there are names for overpar, too. Are there? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, is that bogey? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, bogey. That's a bogey.
So
yeah.
It might be right? Albatross. That's... I mean, I know albatross is absolutely, definitely a thing.
Okay.
Now, I mean, if it's birdie for one under.
Right.
Double birdie for two. Something for three, something for four, something for five.
Yeah, so it would. I'm thinking it's either. There's no triple birdie, right?
Okay.
So let's think about it like this. A par five is the distance from the hole, too, right? I mean, you get five shots to get to the hole because of how far away the hole is. So an albatross, since I've never heard that term personally, and you're telling me it is a term, makes me think that not many people get albatrosses because who's going to get a hole in one on a par five? Happy Gilmore, that's it.
Now, what were the other... Now, Lee, I don't know how often you guys listen to the podcast, but Lee's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Not just... when it comes to his face, but also he likes to do cute things. Now, what were the other answers to his questions? Do you guys remember? Because sometimes he does these. See, look, he's getting all sneaky. Because like last week,
he had the herring. Right?
Okay, so herring.
The farts.
So that's farts.
Farts.
And what other one?
Obviously related. We all fart.
He had the Felix the cat, so it's animals. So it's definitely, that's what it is. It's probably an animal related thing.
Oh, maybe it's animals.
So it's Felix the cat, the farting herring. It's like they did that fart through their gills. That's all I can imagine. And then,
Yes, all right, Mr. Bond, then, you figured out my theme.
All right. So, I mean, albatross is probably our best guess. Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I've heard of an eagle before, and I've heard of people at the club I worked at getting eagles, and I know those guys were not good golfers. So if they're getting eagles, I'm guessing those are on par fours or something like that. So I'll back you on albatross.
The only thing that makes me think that eagle is a possibility is because there's a golf game called Golden Eagle, right? Or isn't it?
Maybe
it's Golden Tee.
Oh, Golden Tee. Maybe that's what I'm doing. Maybe I'm mixing.
Okay, let's go with albatross then, yeah?
Let's go with albatross. I'm down with albatross.
We're going to say albatross.
Almost perfect sus, but that is incorrect. Albatross is four under par, or a hole in two on a par five. There's one above that, which is the most rare, a condor. A condor.
Oh. Wow. Oh.
Yes, it goes par, birdie, eagle, then albatross, condor.
Mm.
Wow. And
they didn't even have a name for this until 1962, when Larry Bruce hit a 480-yard dogleg right fifth hole in one at the Hope Country Club in Hope, Arkansas, 1962. Dick Hogan, not Dick Brown, but Dick Hogan in 1973. Sean Hulk Lynch Hogan's in 1995. Mike Crean in 2002.
Jack, what is this porn name? Obviously.
Crean with an N. Jack Bartlett in 2007 and Kevin Pond in 2020. Those were the only condors that are ever recorded in golf history.
Dude, right, can you imagine in 1962 getting that hole in one in a par five? I would have lost mind.
I mean, imagine how long it just took them to walk to the hole.
Right. Seriously.
They're probably like, where did it go?
Yeah.
No way it's went to the hole.
I was going to say, it would take you 18 minutes to find out you got a hole in one.
You'd be looking everywhere.
Exactly. Awesome. They wouldn't even like use a golf cart. You'd have to take a shuttle. So fucking far away. Oh, you need a question from me, huh?
Please.
Please.
I messed that up. Please. The bogey thing threw me off because there's double bogey in golf.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's all bogeys above. It's just bogey, bogey, bogey.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I think I was hearing my like double bogey from video games because I suck at golf games, all sports games. Really.
So you're getting double bogeys all day long.
Yeah, all day long I'm getting double bogey. But I was like, I was like, oh, is double birdie a thing? No, it's not a thing. I'm stupid. But you guys were close.
You guys were barking up the right tree. Good sus.
All right, here's your next question. For which battle did Washington famously cross the Delaware River? And I even made a little burp after I asked.
So we know which way to go.
It's how podcasters follow each other in the dark.
Please don't try this at home. We are seasoned professionals.
Oh man, my history is so spotty. And yeah, I'm just going to throw something out there.
Good.
Do it, because they got nothing for you.
Our audience is going to be laughing at me, because this is probably not even a thing. It's probably MapQuest directions. I'm going to say the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Does any of that ring a bell?
There's a Froyo place there. It's great.
Yeah. Is that the Battle of Lexington? Or are those two separate battles?
It sounds like those would be two separate battles, but I don't want to throw you off because I don't have it.
This is what I was most worried about.
I feel like the Battle of Concord is not strong enough of a title. I think it needs Lexington, right?
Just from a theming perspective? Can we punch up this battle?
Punch up this battle, please. Let's add some locations here, people.
Both drink at the same time.
literally, all I'm like, for some reason, my brain is just not producing anything but the image of Washington on the boat with the people. That's all I'm seeing right now.
It's a cool painting.
It's literally not generating anything else from right now. I think it's adding an ostrich on the boat, but that's about it. That's all it's got going.
It's not the Battle of the Bulge. It's not the Battle of Bull Run. Those are Civil War battles. It's not Gettysburg. too early for that.
It's definitely not the Battle of Shrewd Farm.
You got to get the country going first before you can have a civil war. I don't know. The Battle of Lexington or the Battle of Concord. I don't know. I think Steven's onto something, though. That just does not sound weighty enough.
Doesn't it sound weak?
Apologies to the residents of Concord.
It sounds like a battle's little brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was the battle of, you know.
You will not be going to Hollywood, Battle of Concord. Exactly.
You are the weakest link. Lexington and Concord. I'm not even sure if that was a thing. But,
like I said, it might be MapQuest directions.
It sounds good. It could be a spot in Fort Myers, actually.
Yep.
Anthony, input.
Okay, this is my biggest fear of going on this podcast, because I don't know anything about battles and geography. I'm really terrible at, like total blind spots.
So let Lee take the fall.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yep.
I know about one thing, and it's the Lost Boys, baby.
I might be able to pull another battle or two from the Revolutionary War out. But
you can't.
Yeah, it's not the it's not the Boston Harbor thing, the Tea Party. It's not that.
I just know.
All right, on my way to the White House now. So we dump the tea in the harbor. I'm president. Lexington.
There's gonna be some history buff listening to Concord. This podcast screaming at us the whole time.
The Battle of Concord. Battle of Concord. That's our answer.
Battle of Concord. Okay.
Is everybody just saying Battle of Concord a lot?
Let's do it.
That is incorrect.
The Battle of Concord.
It's not the Battle of Concord, no.
Is it the War of Concord?
Is it the Battle of Collective Soul?
So the battles of Lexington and Concord are both battles from the American Revolutionary War. Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
So, yeah, not to worry. The battles were fought on April 19, 1775 in Middlesex County, the province of Massachusetts Bay, within the towns of Lexington, Concord, Lincoln, Metomi, something like that, and Cambridge. Mm-hmm. The correct answer, however, is the Battle of Trenton.
Trenton.
The Battle of Trenton, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Crossing the Delaware River. Yeah, apparently, once upon a time. And look what they've done with the place. I'm sorry to anybody who's from New Jersey. I'm just joking.
Home of the first drive-in, right?
Drive-in movie theater? Sounds right. I believe so.
Okay. Steven, do you have a question for us?
Yes, and to follow the theme is another ostrich-based question. Mm-hmm. So let's utilize the information from the first one. Mm-hmm. How fast, what is the average speed or the average top speed or the top speed of an ostrich?
Average top speed. They're booking.
They're booking.
They are the fastest land speed bird, right?
By far. They're actually faster than the Roadrunner. And remember, even the females, I think the smallest they get is 6 foot. So, I mean, they're 6 to 9 feet.
69.
Faster than the Roadrunner. Eat your heart out, Jonathan Richman.
Yeah, for sure.
And the modern lovers.
Roadrunner, Roadrunner.
I'm thinking 75.
What? You're insane.
I, you know, we undercut them in the height category.
Yeah. I mean, they are, if they can get
35 miles an hour.
I guess 75 is a little fast.
75 is running
faster than a cheetah.
75 is running on the highway and being neck and neck with a car. That's fucking crazy. You're crazy.
You'd love to see. Yeah, that's more like chocobo speed, I guess.
In his defense, you've never seen an ostrich running, so maybe they're just running faster than you're driving. Thing.
Imagine driving on 75, 1 o'clock in the morning,
and you just hear.
You ever see The Boys?
Oh yeah,
The Lost Boys.
But yeah. They're fast, but 75.
That's that. Yeah, for to be the highest average top speed, so there could be some that are going like 90. That's the average 75. All right, so let's pull it back a little bit. 35 to 45. I'm comfortable with that.
Let's go with 40, right in between.
Yeah, I'm good with that. 40 miles an hour. That's 40
miles an hour. Yeah, that's very fucking quick.
So you're just a little short of the goal there. They run anywhere from 42 to 45 miles per hour. Now, what's crazy is their stride. They can clear 12 feet in a single stride.
God damn.
And they can, dude, the scary part is they can literally turn.
That's not the scary part?
That's not scary. No.
They're really good at three-point turning.
Like, they can immediately shift their direction. So, like, if they're running, they can just, like, book it in the opposite direction.
So they can definitely ski that.
It can clear two Shaquille O'Neals in one stride. Here's the scary part. Hey, it's like, I'm already so fucking frightened as shit. Are you kidding me?
Why are you running so fast?
These are living dinosaurs, people. These are living I mean, they're bigger than, like, everyone thinks the Jurassic Park Velociraptor, but Velociraptors are like, what, like 4 foot tall or something like
two
that?
Shaquille These things are O'Neals like. Or seven of those generals. I want two on each, one on each foot.
they're a kick from an ostrich can kill an adult male lion.
Jesus damn Christ. That's I want to see that video.
I was gonna say
well, only one
only if, yeah. Yeah, only if the lion tries to like mess with the,
I've been watching too much BattleBots
right?
Lately. I'm sorry.
All right. It was probably just a tall tale. It was probably like, yo man, I just saw an ostrich kick a lion. It was crazy because I don't think I've ever seen the video.
New Shawn stretch Michaels goal style. New stretch goals, buy a lion and an ostrich and try and make the lion get kicked by the ostrich to death.
Let them fight.
Another Lost Boys question. Having impressed a famous composer with his use of music in the Lost Boys, Joel Schumacher was hired to direct what adaptation of that composer?
Can I get that one more time?
Yeah, of course. So having impressed a famous composer... with his use of music, Lost Boys, Joel Schumacher was hired to direct what film adaptation of that composer?
So a film adaptation of a song of a piece of music.
Well, of there was a composer.
Okay, yeah,
was so impressed by what Joel Schumacher did that he hired him to direct the adaptation.
Did Joel Schumacher do a? Phantom of the Opera? Could it be Andrew Lloyd Webber?
That could be possible.
Big Phantom movie, though. That wasn't Joel Schumacher, was it? With Patrick Wilson?
Is Joel Schumacher responsible for the nipples on the Batman costume?
Yep.
Okay.
Say no more. Say no more than nipples.
Oh, yes, the answer is Seal. Da 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 da.
Wait. Hold on.
No, I was just
That's a music
around.
Video. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I could see it being like a music video type thing, but I think you're talking about a movie, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He made a cinematic movie. Like it was...
Feature length film?
Yeah.
Or longer. Many of them
so it's
are.
It's going to take place somewhere in between 87 and the early 90s, if that helps.
The thing that's weird to me is the adaptation...
Of a
composer's work.
Right.
Lee, I think you're barking up the right tree with the idea of a composer who does musicals. I think that's really the only way we get it, because it would be weird if someone like John Cage was like, Or like Philip Glass was like, ooh, do an interpretation of Einstein at the Beach. I love what you did with the Lost Boys soundtrack. Initially, I was thinking Danny Elfman or something like that, but he just does music for things. I could see like Danny Elfman getting along with Joel Schumacher.
Well, Danny Elfman did the Batman music.
Mm. Oh, no. Yeah. But would Danny Elfman have, he would have written it for the Batman movie as opposed to vice versa.
Batman was not based off of the composer.
The piece of music that Danny Elfman wrote.
Man, this is his call to mind a character right now. A man dressed like a bat, his parents destroyed in front of his eyes. Bob Kane. Listening to Danny Elfman.
So I've been listening to this podcast that talks about different movies, and they were talking about Batman Returns. And apparently Bob Kane was supposed to make an appearance in Batman Returns, but he got sick or something happened and he couldn't. Oh. So he ended up showing up in Batman Forever. It's like, dude, you got so fucking fucked. You ended up in Batman Forever. Batman Returns is so good. Batman Forever is so bad. That's the one Bob Kane gets stuck in.
Joel Schumacher one. That was Tim Burton. Tim Burton before
it's Tim Boyton.
What about that movie? Wasn't there a movie called like Repo Man, the genetic opera, that was like really offbeat? Ooh, and I've never seen it, but the style just looks like Schumacher. It looks like Tommy Lee Jones with the two-face makeup going, my face.
Now, like, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. That sounds like it'd be right up Anthony's alley, too. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty solid guess, because Anthony's throwing me through a loop here. I'm like, he's going to have three Lost Boys questions. I'm going to nail it out the park. And now he's like, nah, curveball. But that's a good one. Repo Man?
Is that a Danny Elfman movie? But you asked for the composer's name, right?
Well, no, the movie. No. The movie. Oh. Yeah. I didn't give you the composer's name. I thought it would be too easy.
I see.
And I figured.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, it could be Repo Man. That is like kind of a cool looking offbeat musical type thing.
Who did that? Do you know?
Danny Elfman, maybe? I don't know.
Just grasping at straws.
I'm just thinking about what composer is going to watch Lost Boys and go, yes.
That's why I thought this was funny.
Yeah. Just,
and I mean, they used the same song throughout the whole movie over and over. And some composer was like, yeah, I want, that's exactly what I want to bring my vision to life.
Right.
This song screams money.
There's Cannibal, the musical, but that's by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. That's like a totally original idea.
Hiring Joel Schumacher to make their movie be like the opposite move Trey Parker and Matt Stone would make too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's my guess is Repo Man, genetic opera. Is that what it's called? The guy takes organs back, right? Is that the idea?
That's what that movie is.
Okay.
I mean,
I think it's a good guess.
Joel Schumacher doing it though.
Dude, if you look at a screenshot of this movie, it looks like Batman Forever. It looks like Batman and Robin.
We're going to go.
It's got neon lights and everything everywhere.
Let's go with Repo Man, the genetic opera.
That's incorrect. Oh.
It was a good guess, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good guess because, Steven, earlier you said it was a movie that took place between, 1986, a little after that. But this movie was actually from 2004. It was like a
real movie.
Yeah, it was. The thing. Lee got it right away. It was The Phantom of the Opera. I didn't know that Joel Schumacher directed that.
What? The one with Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, he had 2004.
Peep on my face again!
Yeah. So, yeah, Andrew Lord Webber watched The Lost Boys, was so impressed by the use and the oily sax man that he was like, this is the man who's fake Phantom of the Opera. He's gonna bring that.
Wow.
Yeah,
we're gonna take Patrick Wilson, we're gonna douse him in oil. It's gonna be amazing.
Gosh.
Blockbuster.
Webber!
Actually, did you... Speaking of, like... Oh, good.
I was just gonna say, great question. I love the way that it's structured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried about all this stuff, but so
doing great.
Okay, no, but speaking of the Repo Men genetic opera, I have seen that, and it is very bizarre. But there was a movie that came out only a few years after that called Repo Men with
Emilio Estevez.
No, that was before.
Oh yeah,
that was before. An 80s movie, right? Or was it just, it was an 80s movie. No, it was, what can I think? Handsome guy in EastEnders. Jude Law. Sorry, I just
okay.
Blank.
And it was called Repo Man.
It was called Repo, I think, or Repo Men. And it was.
And they take back the organs, right?
They take back the organs. It's literally the exact plot of Repo Genetic Opera, but it's not a musical. So they were like, so some filmmaker was like, you know what we should do is steal that idea completely, but take away the music. And I just thought it was really interesting.
I hate musicals.
I hate musicals, but I love stealing organs back from people. These poor people don't deserve these hearts.
It really fits, the theme of the movie, really. It does. Director motivation.
So anyway. But yeah, that was the answer. It was Phantom of the Opera. I didn't know that Joel Schumacher directed.
Same.
I mean, I guess his filmography has become sort of a joke after the Batman movies. Make fun of them. But so I really only know Lost Boys, Flatliners, Batman. I can't. You know,
it seems like he went more reserved on the neon lighting and stuff in the Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. So there was like a mirror scene, a crazy mirror scene where he could let his Schumacher shine.
All right, you ready for your next question?
Let Schumacher shine on the silver screen.
Lee, is it you or me?
It's you.
All right. Do you guys want a question about...
Wait, no, it's me.
It is you. I thought it was me.
It's me. My bad. I'm all messed up right now.
You're all mixed up.
I don't know what to do.
Such a 311 happy episode.
Don't forget to join us for quiz number 311 on Wednesday, Pointy Bell Brewing Company. The occult... is the next category that I have for you. Used to pick the site where Rome would be founded. What is the term for the ancient practice of interpreting omens from the behavior of birds?
So when I think omens and birds, I'm thinking ravens and crows. Yeah?
Okay.
Are those birds indigenous to that area?
I wish I could tell you.
Okay.
I know I've asked a question about this before. Not about birds, though. About cards. And I'm trying to remember like what the word was like. You know, like something mancy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm thinking something like...
Right, like...
aviomancy. You know what I mean?
Aviomancy, like a necromancy of birds. Right.
Tweet Mancy.
This is called bird watching. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, birds aren't real. And we all know
everyone knows that
they're just drones.
They were drones back then, too.
Well, of course they were.
Yes, they were drones from the future.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed, Stephen. Hagar made the birds. We all know this. okay. I think you're probably right with the Mancy. But what would it be? Would it be like aviomancy or what's the study of birds? Is it ornithology or
ornamancy?
It sounds prettier than aviomancy.
Yeah. I could also be wrong. But
no, I think the thing that you said definitely sounds
like
I think ornithology is right.
Okay.
Ornamancy?
God, that would be such a cool title. Bring in the ornamancer. He's like that. He throws like the rattled bones on the floor and.
You ornamancer. I like him. It's also the person who decorates
all these
Christmas
birds
trees.
Fly out of nowhere like a crow.
Is the crow an ornamancer?
Put Rome here.
Put Rome here.
This is where we will build Rome. Five ravens took a shit on this pile of plot of land. You want to say ornomancy?
Yeah, I don't have anything.
I think it's our best guess. I don't think we're going anywhere.
I don't think so either. We're gonna say ornomancy.
That is incorrect. But very entertaining sus there. Mark, you were kind of right on with the Rome founding thing. They really did use how many birds were in one location.
Really?
Romulus and Remus were arguing over where to build Rome, whether on Palestine or Aventine Hill. And Remus saw 6 vultures while Romulus saw 12. So Romulus wins. That's where they built Rome. And actually, many different things in ancient Greece were used. They needed a positive auspice. That's where the phrase auspices come from. So they needed an augur to watch the birds and say, like, yes, we should elect that person. The gods will it. And it was considered to be disastrous if the augur made a wrong decision. So they had to, because it was basically offensive to the gods if the augur got it wrong. So very high pressure position for the augurs in ancient Rome. The practice itself, though, even goes back to up to 1,000 years earlier in Egypt. So the Romans did not invent it, but yeah, very popular method of trying to predict omens.
Wait, so what's the answer?
Augury.
Augury.
Yeah, AU, I guess like Audubon.
Like Augury Plaza.
But probably not related. Yeah, Augury Plaza.
Augury Grand.
I just want to say that when Hagar created that word, he should have thought of ornamancy because it sounds cooler, is all I'm saying.
Ornamancy does sound sick.
Punch up on the Hagar.
All right. Here's your last question of the second round. Who was the United Kingdom's youngest prime minister since 1812? Or who has been the youngest prime minister since 1812?
I didn't even know they had prime ministers in 1812. I thought that was like a relatively newer thing. You said England?
Yep. United Kingdom.
United Kingdom. Tony Blair?
Dude, that's the one.
Tony Blair had a head full of brown hair.
Yeah, he did. That's the only name I can think of, though. That's why I feel like it's like, oh, Tony Blair.
It's, I mean, I don't know anybody before Tony Blair. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, there was Margaret Thatcher. I guess it could be her. But I thought she was a little older.
I thought she was older, too.
There was kind of like this young duo thing going on with George W. Bush and Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm. They were buddies. Sure.
Let's invade Iraq.
I remember all the mockeries, yeah. I remember those parodies and stuff, though, for real. Though. Yeah, like, you're not wrong. Yeah.
I feel like Tony Blair, and then there was a couple after, more recently. I can't remember their names, though. Who's the prime minister right now?
Wasn't it Thatcher recently?
No. Thatcher was the '80s. We did have a lady prime minister. We didn't. I mean, we're American, but they did. They had a lady prime minister.
Yes, we are all American. All of us.
You wouldn't know with our obsession with the ex royal family interviews and the royal family themselves. But yeah. So you know, we're raised to not give a fuck about this, basically. So if you're to our European,
I mean, back in 1776, we're like, hey, so we're gonna stop caring about your prime ministers and kings, right? So
Tony Blair.
That's Tony Blair. That's Tony Blair.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The youngest ever was William Pitt the Younger, who was appointed at age 24.
The younger is some 1812 shit right there.
Yeah, it's some 1812 shit.
Yes.
Didn't even have junior yet. The younger.
The correct answer is a David Cameron. David Cameron.
He's more recent, isn't he?
Yes.
Before him was Tony Blair. Yeah. So David Cameron, okay.
How can we forget about Boris Johnson?
Yeah, and Boris Johnson.
Haven't seen his mop of hair on the news lately, I guess. Yeah. And before him was a woman, right? Her name started with M. Theresa May. May.
That's who I was thinking of when I said Thatcher.
Margaret May.
Yeah.
Double M.
Theresa May's the meme, right? Where she's like kind of striding on stage.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That is our second round. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll be back with a very special Rate My Question, followed by our final questions.
Yeah.
Back, and it's time for a Rate My Question. Rate My Question. Cool. All right. Now, I had a dubious question that I read at Pointy Bell this week, so I wanted to put it up to you guys to rate. It is a birds question. In organized crime, informants are symbolized by what kind of songbird? That is my question for you guys.
Informants? Like stool pigeon?
In organized crime, informants are symbolized by what kind of songbird?
So...
Oh, no. Oh, a canary.
Yeah.
Right?
He sang like a canary, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, but the first two things that came to my mind were stool pigeon, which is like an old gangster, like he's a stool pigeon, or, but I think sing like a canary is more like
so a pigeon is definitely not a songbird.
Right. That's what, where
that is. Sense. That's that much is for sure. Yeah. And a stool pigeon, I don't know what that indicates. I don't know what that means, but they definitely say he sang like a canary. I mean,
totally. No, I'm with you.
Steven, you're just sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
You're just sitting there looking handsome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I like a good
Sing like a canary sounds good to me. I feel like I just agree with everything, but like, I'm like, yes, that's a good one. Yes,
well, when
yes.
you're dealing with such smart people.
Exactly, you know, yeah.
All you can do is agree. Yeah, I would say, do we all agree on canary?
Yeah,
I think a canary.
We're going to say canary.
Okay, that is the answer that I was looking for. Yes, canary. However, a few teams did write down stool pigeon. Some took it gracefully, but I faced some pushback from a particular member of the Insane Clown Pussies, Evan. Evan Tisch, you might know him from Twitch, and was promised the, quote, Pigeon Boy Manifesto, which I'll summarize here, but we'll put the full version in the show notes if you want to read it. This is from Evan Lee. I will admit that prior to your question, I would not have said that songbird was a taxonomic classification synonymous with passeriforms. I've always understood the term to denote, quote, birds that can produce a song, which is to say most birds. I don't know if that was your intent to have that question hinge on the technicality of songbird, but that's effectively what happened. If that was your intent, well, I guess that's the quizmaster's prerogative, but I'd say it's a pretty deep cut for general trivia. If that wasn't your intent, I've prepared a short argument explaining why I think stool pigeon was and is an acceptable answer, or at least worthy of partial credit. Now, he goes on to explain how mourning doves are considered to be songbirds and game birds. But in 10 states, including Michigan, New York, New Jersey, and some New England states, they are only considered to be songbirds because there's no hunting season. Then explains that the turtle dove was once known as the Carolina pigeon, along with many other similar examples with a chart. Furthermore, Evan shows with citations that the mourning dove is so closely related to the now extinct passenger pigeon that it has been discussed by scientists to use the mourning dove to clone passenger pigeons. He then writes, quote, now I assume you might want to score songbird as a B in your PIBs, a built-in hint, but I argue that it's a red herring, a misdirection at least exceedingly subtle. Such that I would consider it too cute by half. Mark, he's calling me cute too.
You're getting it all from all sides, buddy.
It's akin to the kind of sadistic crossword clue that elicits much scorn in my household. It's less a question about idiomatic expressions than it is a question about hair-splitting taxonomic categories, which seems somewhat outside the spirit of a good Pibs. Now he's taking on my system, my question rating system. Evan continues. Confusing the matter somewhat, that is the term songbird itself is often used to imply or denote a stitch, a snitch, not a stitch, not a Disney character, a snitch. And then there's a link here with Snopes. He's got a Snopes link to add to his argument. Now, this very well may have been backward derived from canary, or it may have been in the reverse. Regardless, it seems logical that if snitch equals stool pigeon and snitch equals songbird, then songbird equals stool pigeon. However, I'm not prepared to make an argument on these grounds, except to point out the word itself is somewhat mushy in the context. Finally, it should be noted that the Mexican folk classic Cuckoo, Cuckoo, Paloma, worth a listen, was written to mimic the song of a brown cuckoo dove, which is sometimes called a brown pigeon or a pheasant pigeon. So now he's saying pigeons sing all the time, and there's even this song based off of it. Now, name me an According to Hoyle songbird with such a lofty song credential. All right, how about Mockingbird Song by Inez and Charlie Fox? You guys know that one? Mock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
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 Evan continues, yeah. My estimation, stool pigeon appears to be a valid answer, even if canary is a slightly better fit. Half credit would seem reasonable, if somewhat harsh. Maybe consider rewording to be more inclusive. Finch, colorful finch. Passerine, Bird with an island namesake. That is a good hint, actually. What, you know, it's based on a bird with what island namesake? I love that as a direct hint for canary. Side note, the Canary Islands were so named because of the dogs that were bred there for fighting. So really, the canary bird is named after a dog. Canis, canario. I guess that's where it comes from, canary. And I think Elise might have brought that up on the podcast before, that the Canary Islands were, or maybe it was in private conversation, named after
it's
dogs.
It's named after dogs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I promised a manifesto, and damn it, I'm a man of my word. I write this with love and appreciate the work you and Mark put in your questions and podcasts. Keep it up. Signed, Evan. So I ask you now, what do you think of this question? Am I wrong to say stool pigeon is not a songbird and mark those points incorrect? Or should I have given points here?
Well, Lee, is a stool pigeon an actual bird? Obviously, pigeon's a bird, but is a stool pigeon an actual bird, or is this simply just a term that's used?
Well, a stool pigeon, I don't think, is a particular bird. I think it's a type of pigeon that's on a stool.
To be an informant. So therefore, like, it couldn't be the answer to the question.
Right.
Because it's not an actual type of bird.
Right.
Because that's what you were asking.
The belief is that it is a pigeon that was tied to a stool that would try to fly, and its fluttering would attract other birds so that they could be captured with a net. That is the believed etymology of stool pigeon.
Which is not connected to song at all.
Stool pigeon is not specifically a pigeon. It is
So therefore, that makes his. Even though I want to say that dude had a well pointed passage. I have to give it to him. I learned more about pigeons and doves than I ever learned in all of my years in school. But Anthony brings up a very valid point. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a real breed of bird. It's just,
if the question is which bird does this, and you say a thing that's not a type of bird, obviously. It's not the answer to the question. And, like, you know, you listened to me a few minutes ago also go through that same sus of I know stool pigeon.
Right.
And like Mark said, obviously we landed on canary.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fair to assume that most people who have that general knowledge would also be able to land on canary reasonably
also,
without hating you.
I'm looking at the Songbird Wikipedia, Songbird Wikipedia, and search for pigeon.
Yeah.
Nothing came up.
Right. And you have to subscribe to kind of the connections between doves, morning doves, and pigeons to get to pigeons as songbirds.
Yeah, no.
Because they're not
Theia
forms.
The fact that you have to stretch that much to make it make sense gives you the answer you need. And this is kind of like the one question I had with somebody at Nice Guys, where it's like, if you have to like convince me, then you know what the right answer is. You're just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not, you know.
You don't need a Scorsese film to explain your answer.
Well, I think you might.
At this particular case.
Well, first of all, like good feathers would come to mind. But no. But what I'm thinking is this is definitely a DreamWorks movie in the making because we're all throwing a lot of shade at pigeons right now. And you know, I think we all know that there's going to be a pigeon who just wants to sing.
Right.
That song is right up
DreamWorks' alley. You're absolutely
exactly.
Right.
It's coming. Not Pixar, but it's happening.
Yeah, being in the same family of, you know, it's like, I don't know, it would be like, you know, it'd be like killing a dog and eating it and being like, well, it's in the same family. It's you know, it walks on four legs and so does a pig. So it's the same thing. It's like, well, just because they're both birds and they're both in the same, like, semi-class or whatever, they're different things. Doves are not pigeons, you know, they're doves. But we are not talking about in the family of, we're talking about what kind of bird. Pigeons go, that's not a fucking song. That's not a songbird. It doesn't have the distinctive things that make a songbird, which is like this, you know, vocal muscle or whatever, you know.
Maybe pigeons are like progressive rock though. You know, maybe they're in their own time signatures. You know, they're just
this highlighted to me that, you know, pay special attention to your hints. Maybe this needs an emphasis of a hint. I really like the Canary Island connection there. So if I was going to rate my own question here, I would give it a pibs, but a lowercase b. It could use a little work.
I would give it an A+, man. I think it's a fine question. I almost think it's a little too easy.
Well, it was a 3-point question, so it was an easy question in the first round.
And so as far as that's concerned, yeah, most people think stool pigeon immediately, but your hint worked for us exactly the way it was supposed to work.
True.
Stool pigeon is not a songbird. It coos, it doesn't sing a song. So what other could it, what could else could it be? And Steven or whoever was like, oh, canary. That's it, it worked exactly as intended, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the support on that. And sorry, Evan, no extra points. Nice try, though. If you'd like to, yes, if you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, please do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
My 69 right. Punched you in the face.
Now.
Only up.
Anthony. Would you do the honors of kicking off our third round?
Okay. Also, Lost Boys themed, but not a question.
There it is.
Thank you. No, so despite being about vampires, The Lost Boys was filmed in what city whose name means Holy Cross?
Holy Cross.
Holy Cross. So yeah, despite being about vampires and you know
Hollywood. Has Stephen fallen asleep?
Hollywood.
Oh, there he is. I just see him looking down like he just it's been a long day.
I was thinking Santa Cruz, which is I think where Smash Mouth is from.
That would be Saint. Santa is Saint.
Right. So, but that's kind of holy, right? Saint Cross? I don't know.
No.
I don't know Spanish, so
that's going to be a no for me, dog.
All right. Fair enough. Hollywood? Anthony, I mean, to help does wood mean cross? I don't think wood means cross. No. I don't know what cruise means, but.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's again, this is like kind of a songbird pigeon type thing. Like, that would be trying to make that case. Like, well, it's wood. So it must mean cross.
Oh, and yeah, Steven, you can help him if you.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm pretty sure it is Santa Cruz.
It's a California. I remember there's like a boardwalk scene at the beginning.
Yeah, you know. I'm like almost. I'm trying to remember the grandpa's line at the very end. It's the only thing. All the goddamn vampires, but like I'm pretty sure it's Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And there, I was right with Peeps. I was right with Phantom of the Opera right away. I just, you know, this could be another thing where if we don't go with Santa Cruz,
sounds wrong.
You know,
that's the thing. Oh, hold on. It's not though. It's not.
Is like, it in New Jersey? Is it like
No. It takes.
I'm just thinking of like boardwalks now. You know, Atlantic City. Is that?
I'm just literally the scene that's hanging me up is the scene at the very end of The Lost Boys where the grandpa says the quote. He says the town name, and he says all the goddamn vampires. So I'm just trying to remember the town, and Santa Cruz doesn't seem to. Maybe it is though.
Santa
Cruz and Cross. I mean, that's a very phonetic similarity. Yeah. Big
that's
phonetic
pretty
similarity.
Close.
Oh, you're not wrong. Fuck.
I think it's Santa Monica.
We've gone from Smash Mouth to Everclear.
I am still living with your that's cross.
Vampires.
Anthony, I'm not wrong. The grandpa says the town at the end, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Nilbog.
Well, he says Nilbog. Goblin spelled backward. They're eating him. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you picked it up.
They say the name of the town that the movie takes place in, but it's not necessarily the name of the town that it was filmed in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So this is what it was filmed in?
I think that's where what the question was.
I think it was filmed in Santa Cruz.
All right, we'll go with Santa Cruz. Fuck it, Santa Cruz.
You guys got it.
Damn.
Santa
Cruz.
So yeah. the movie itself job, takes Lee. Place in a fictional city of Santa Carla.
Santa Carla, dude, Anthony, I was thinking Santa Carla.
I know.
But then I was like Santa Clarita Diet. I'm like, that's probably not that. There's, you know, I'm like that. I'm mad.
Yeah.
At
so
now.
So the movie takes
Lots
place
of Michaels
in
that one too.
Yeah. So, fictional city of Santa Carla, but they actually filmed in Santa Cruz, California.
You're eating maggots, Michael.
When I read that tweet, it was really early in the morning, and I was like, he doesn't say, Michael doesn't, what was the other character? Dustin?
David.
I was like, David doesn't say Michael. Michael says Walt in Lost. And then I had to read it again. I was like, oh, wait, Lost Boys, Michael, the different character. I just love
Lost.
So
many nerds here.
Yeah. It's true. And that includes you, listeners.
We got to go back.
Oh, yeah.
We're various shades of nerd, too.
Steven Wildcard.
Yes.
Your next question, your final question for this episode, please.
So if you're a fan of Super Nintendo, you may have a better shot at guessing this ostrich question. Mm. But in the Mega Man X series, specifically Mega Man X2, one of the Mavericks that Mega Man... one of the Mavericks, former Reploid, that Mega Man X has to hunt is an ostrich. What's his name? Now, if you're not a fan or if you haven't played the Mega Man X series, the X series changes the whole formula of just robot masters having different skills to animal.
Oh, man.
So, like in Mega Man X, the first one, my favorite character in that was Storm Eagle, for example. So they're typically like they have a Spark Mandrill. So Ostrich from Mega Man X2.
Right.
Now, okay. Anthony, for a little hint, just because none of you have obviously played Mega Man X2, so you're all very
played Mega Man X. I'm searching right now.
Do you have an idea?
Listen, X2 and X3 are both great sequels.
Those are the two that I haven't played. I did play Mega Man X. I don't know if I made it to the ostrich, but yeah, that's cool. I mean, you're an artist, so the character designs in Mega Man are just outstanding.
Especially the first few X games, like X4, X5, it gets kind of crazy from there. But like the first three for Super Nintendo were just they're like a flawless trilogy, really. So it's an ostrich. Anthony, there was an episode when we were talking about the colony where I wanted to name my ostrich Odie because it was a shorthand acronym. For this ostrich's first name.
You said a shorthand acronym?
Yeah, it's like O-D.
Well,
one word, but it's two separate sounding words to make his first name. And now think, it's typically...
Oh, so it's
It's blank ostrich. So like Storm Eagle, Spark Mandrill, Launch Octopus, Crystal Snail, Wheel Gator...
So it's a D. He's given us D then. All right.
So is D the first? Okay. Is it?
The D's it's the first. D, so
oh, something it's
awesome. Oh, it is.
O is the first.
Oh, okay. O is the first one.
So they're going for the alliteration there, I believe. So.
Mm.
And now think ostriches. Previous question too has to do with speed,
right?
And he actually has one of the most unique battles.
Odometer.
Odometer
ostrich.
Let's see.
How many miles you get on this bad boy? Slaps ostrich.
You know, I'm going to give you another hint. Boss may make a guitar pedal effect that has the same name.
Oscillating ostrich?
There's no oscillating, I don't think.
No.
As far as pedal.
You can make a pedal that goes wee 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 wee.
His fight is actually really unique too. Like almost every fight in Mega Man, it's a single platform, and you know, some of them have like you can go up more. His is this like three framed battle, and he runs back, and then he jumps to the background, and you see him running in the distance in the sand, and then he jumps back in, and you have to like jump over him and stuff. It's a pretty cool fight, actually.
It's like they designed that for the Virtua Boy, but then they were like, let's save this.
Yeah, let's just do this to Super Nintendo. We're just going to throw it on the SNES.
Oscillating ostrich, odometer ostrich.
Oh, so a boss pedal. Overdrive.
Overdrive. Ooh. It has to be overdrive.
Yes, that is, yep.
We're going to say overdrive ostrich.
Nailed it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah!
Overdrive ostrich. Woo!
It only took 20 hints, but I got it.
Yes, thank you for being generous with the hints there, Steve.
It was literally one of those questions where if you had played the game, you would have known it right away. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't sure like how many hints I should or shouldn't give off the rip. You know?
Yeah, and our listeners, if you want to use that question for your local trivia, you've got some extra hints now you could throw into the question if you want. If you want it to be a little harder, you know, don't mention the boss pedal type thing. But if you want to add a hint for any musicians in the audience, you can totally give that clue.
Another cool Mega Man X trivia question you could ask is, I think it's either X6 or X7. The creators of that game were obsessed with Guns N' Roses, so all the Mavericks in it are named after Guns N' Roses band members. There's Duff McWhalen, he's a whale. There's Axl the Rose. And yeah, there's a bunch of cool, there's cool references Slash? To Guns N' Roses. Yeah, Slash Tiger.
Ah.
And then... I'm trying to remember what the fourth member is.
Mark, can you prompt the Izzy? Band names?
Is he
Iguana?
I think he's a squid, actually. Hold on.
Izzy Squidzy.
Izzy Ink.
Something like that. But it was pretty cool.
Kind of following the format. Oh, sorry.
You think I'll double check. You think he's a squid? Is he or isn't he?
Come on, make him.
Kind of following the format of the of Bowser's kids or the Koopa kids. You know, they're all named after musicians like Ludwig and Lemmy,
Iggy, yeah,
Wendy.
My apologies. It was Axel the Red. Crescent Grizzly was or Crescent Grizzly became Grizzly Slash. Tidal Whale became Duff McWillan. So it's those three characters. So it's okay. Just those three.
That's cool though.
That's pretty cool. Little piece of trivia for Mega Man X.
Lee, is it you or me?
I think it's your turn, but I'll go if you want.
Doesn't matter.
You go. I won't go last.
God, I was hoping you wouldn't see me. Thank God. Stern Halma is a strategy board game for up to 6 players of German origin, better known by what name? Stern Halma, STERNHALMA, is a strategy board game for up to 6 players of German origin, better known by what name?
Stern Halma.
Some deep sussing.
Couple ideas. You got some?
Steven, you know German. Come on. What's up? Okay, like steer home, or are you thinking like stern as in on a ship? Which side is stern?
Stern and aft, right?
Stern and aft. Is it specifically left or right? Is that what it, you know? You know where stern is?
I'm not sure.
I'm gonna do what I do best. I'm just gonna agree with one of you.
Well, I had so a couple thoughts went in my mind. First, I was thinking games with 6 players. I think Risk has 6 players, if I remember correctly. Settlers of Catan is a German board game, but the base set comes in with four players, but you can add 2 players by way of extending the game with an extension kit, that extra thing. So I'm not sure if that makes a difference or not, but it is potential. There is potential to play with 6 players in Catan with an expansion pack. Axis and Allies? Would they make a game about World War II? That seems unlikely. They would probably want to avoid that. How about in board game
format? I've got this idea for a board game. It's World War II inspired. Get out!
Gains the house, yeah.
Oh, I miss Wood Cottage all of a sudden. Oh. Our old German food vendors at trivia.
Stanhouse.
It kind of sounds. It kind of sounds like stay home. It sounds like stay home or steer home, is what it would be. But I don't know what game that would be. I'm trying to like. But that's what Settlers. Dan, I've never played Settlers. Is it?
That seems so up your alley. I can't believe you've never played.
It's my friends, Mark Davis. I have one, and it's Steven.
We've tried to get you to hang out.
I do love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much.
We're hanging out. This is hanging out.
This is
hanging out. Oh my gosh. Did you guys see the Oozing Wound cover of that song? It's a death metal band covering it. It's so good. I'll post a link in the show notes for anybody that's interested.
That's awesome.
Using Wound. So Catan is a game where you have a bunch of hexagonal tiles that you flip over at random, and then you have to settle and build roads between your settlements and try and get victory points. And so, you know, the board itself is a hexagon, I think. And you can get these expansions that allow you to add extra tiles around the side and do a bigger game. So Risk, though, the game of global domination, 6 players, naturally 6 players in that game. You open up the box, there's 6 right there.
Right. That's what I was worried about.
It's not Monopoly. It's not Scrabble. Those are American games. What is his name? Alfred Mosher Butts invented Scrabble. Is that his name, Mark?
I'm sorry?
Alfred Mosher Butts? Is that the inventor of Scrabble?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The Butts. Albert Broccoli, Alfred Mosher Butts, and who was our
Alfred
new?
Alfred Butts
and,
drives me
and Dick
nuts.
Brown. They're going to form a band. I don't know. I'm feeling either Risk or Catan.
Yeah.
I think Risk is a solid.
I just don't know if that's of German origin. Catan, I know it's of German origin. That's a Ticket to Ride. I mean, Ticket to Ride is another German board game, I think. Have you guys ever played that?
No, what's that one? Is there six players in that one?
It's I think so, and you have to build the longest train track. You might have a secret objective to like build train tracks between two different cities, but that created a numerous spin-offs. I don't know if the name Stern Halma. I don't know if that's is that train related? Does that sound trainy? Hey, Soul Sister. Not that train. It's not that kind of train board.
Mr. on the radio, the stereo. The way you move ain't fair, you know. Ugh, God. Fucking gag me with a spoon.
Mark knows about train because they just did a double header on Lyrics to Go.
Oh, no. Did you?
Yeah. Mark's new podcast with
I listened to Drops of Jupiter on repeat for like 30 minutes, and I've never sunk so low.
I was wondering about that. If like, do you write A when you're writing it? Do you just write... Right, that's that song, isn't it? Drops of Jupiter. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if that's you're writing those lyrics,
you really illuminate a lot of material on that podcast, though, Mark. Lyrics.
Yeah, it's really. I listened to the first episode recently. It was really good.
Thank you.
So, what do you guys think?
Sternhalma.
Catan.
Sternhalma. Sternhalma.
Catan sounds really good.
Sternhalma.
Or Risk.
Yeah.
Risk. Okay. I wish I knew. And it could be like Stern as in rough. Because if you think of German, anytime I hear German, words are often really close to root words that we already know.
So like serious.
You know?
Yeah, like Stern is like being serious.
Like maybe fighting. Yeah, maybe. That's, you know, obviously.
Fight for home?
Ignorance here. Yeah, fight for home. So, well, Stern home. So it could be Risk, like, or it could be like settling in your home. I don't know what could, you know, if that's appropriate for Catan, but it seems like it.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I do like what you said about Risk being naturally
six players. Yeah, yeah, because if you ask about six players and it's Catan, you get people like Evan. They're like, wait, or I should say people like me. Four players natural game, two players expansion pack.
Actually,
yeah, yep, an actually, that's what you call that person. Yeah, I all right, I see what you're saying. Risk, I'm cool with Risk.
I'm good with Risk too.
I'm good with Risk, too.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Ooh.
I love this question. Mm. I love this question. Stern, meaning star, and Halma, meaning jump. The correct answer is Chinese checkers.
Never would have gotten that's a
Chinese checkers.
That's amazing. Like German chocolate cake, which is from Texas.
That's incredible.
Yes. Stern, Halma. Six players, which is the only thing that really kind of gives you any kind of hope. Everybody guessed either Risk or Settlers of Catan, so you guys were right down the national zeitgeist or the local zeitgeist anyway, guessing, you know, popular nerdy games with multiple players. But Chinese checkers is the correct answer.
Wow,
that's a good one. Solid.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great question.
Thank you. You honor me. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to close things out with an Animals of Africa question. Struthio camelus is the scientific name for what African animal? Struthio camelus. That's Struthio. Struthio camelus. Camelus.
So right off rip, we want to think camel, right? Because camelus is close to camel, which could be an intentional...
Well, yeah, because even like the giraffe's actual name has camel in it. There are a lot of
there are a lot
of those like hoven animals. Yeah.
So Struthio, what's Latin Struthio? I believe.
Mark, do you have any? Oh, what do you know?
Don't they say that in Hook? Struthio.
I was literally gonna make the same joke.
Sorry.
I was going to say the original screenplay for a Hook.
My bad.
Struthio.
I think like the camel's name is like K Camellus Camellus or something like that. I really, really
Camellus squared.
Because there's a couple of animals that have names like that where, like, it's just the same fucking, where they just jab it down your throat a couple times.
Like, if we weren't clear enough with the first one.
Right, yeah.
I like the giraffe, like, maybe spot, maybe doesn't mean, like, spotted giraffe?
No, that's like a Camelopardus or something.
Okay.
I think it's like the giraffe.
Wow, okay.
So it's going to be a hoofed, it's probably going to be a hoofed animal then, right? It's probably going to be an herbivore in Africa that is closely related to a giraffe or a camel, yeah?
African animals up in the Egypt region.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, you know, African animals further down when I think of, like, you know, the safaris and shit.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, elephant. It could be an elephant.
What was the word? What was the word again, Lee?
Struthio camellus.
Camellus.
Struthio!
Okay.
Looky, I got hooky. Poor bastard, man.
Friday.
It's why our generation's so bitter, man.
Rufio died.
Oh,
yeah, it's true. And for nothing, like, he didn't have hooky. Why did he say that? That was very strange.
That's the kind of thing that, like, newspaper writers hope he develops a gambling issue so they can say, looky, I got booky.
Yeah.
The headlines write themselves.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Slobbering all over it. Can't wait. Oh my God!
I can smell the ink now.
I feel like it could also be like a baking company. It's looky, I got cookie. Just
cookie.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Of course, the hit song "Looky, I Got Nookie."
By Shrimp Biscuit.
All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Elephant would be interesting thing.
I'd go with elephant with you because I honestly don't know their scientific names.
I mean, now I know there's three different kinds of elephant. There's Asian elephants and also African elephants. Two kinds of African elephants.
Is there like a black elephant? Black African elephant? No, I don't remember.
Well, black, right, why are you so racing to this?
Yeah, come on, Steven.
What are you,
an ostrich?
African bush elephant and an African something else elephant, and it could be one of those.
I didn't know there were two African elephants. That's cool. I thought there were just the two. Now I know.
Hey, when you come on this podcast, buddy, you're bound to learn something.
Yeah. So I learned that my best friend's a little racist. I'm just kidding. I don't want
someone to lose his job.
All ostriches are canceled, as well as any ostrich-related company.
All the money is gone from your Kickstarter. What happened?
No!
Everything's falling apart.
Our podcast went from "We Have Issues" to "I Have Issues."
Or Steven can just use it as a self-therapy session and call it "I Have Issues," and you can just start your own thing and be like, "Yeah, I don't know what it is about me and black elephants. I guess it all started when I was 7." You want to say elephants?
I'll go with elephants.
African elephant.
No, I'm sorry. I got you guys. It is the largest living species of bird that lays the largest eggs of any bird. The common ostrich.
You gotta be kidding me.
Struthio camellus, the common ostrich.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It came full circle on us.
Oh, I love it.
I didn't think I was going to pull it off. Yep, God, the common ostrich. Struthio camellus. And I don't know if there's any relation to camel. Camellus is the scientific name for the camel family of species, but I don't know if there's a direct connection between the common ostrich. There are, of course, several different types of ostriches. There are the, I just had the list here. Where are you, my ostriches? here we are.
Alpaca.
Struthio campensi, Struthio orlovi, Struthio wimani. These are all different types of ostriches, but the common ostrich is the Struthio camellus.
And what is Struthio?
I looked that up, and it seems to only be related to ostriches.
They don't give like a reason for
New Latin Struthion. It's New Latin, Struthion. So it's not it's like a manufactured Latin, I think, by scientists, okay, basically. Okay. From late Latin, ostrich, irregular from Greek struthos, ostrich, sparrow, that's perhaps it? Akin to the old English thricey or thrush.
Because I was thinking like stretching or stride or something because they're fast and they also have long necks. I was one of those things I was hoping, but
no, I guess this was a bit of a tricky question for general knowledge trivia because it does lead you towards camel. But I thought for you guys it would be appropriate, you know.
No, that's a perfect question.
I feel like Stephen let us down. Like ostrich.
Yeah, that ostrich was your information. Was your court,
is really, no, it was his court. I'm not saying I'm going to throw him under the bus. I'm
it wasn't
saying
a Lost Boys question. I had no idea those were coming.
I'm gonna set him in the road, and if the bus is coming, the ostrich knowledge will get him out of the way.
What's crazy is when I was like probably confirming like the height and everything, it was probably like Struthio come out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably just like right.
The quizmaster's dilemma right there.
Yeah.
What do you write about in regards to the information? Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. It has been fantastic having you here. Thanks again, and listeners, don't forget to check out the Kickstarter that Anthony and Stephen have for Play It Again, which is a give me the buzz line again graphic novel.
It is a semi-autobiographical time traveling musical graphic novella. Did I get it, Anthony?
Novella.
Yep.
With an accompanying soundtrack.
With an accompanying soundtrack by the band Struthio.
Nice. There you go.
Hey, if you need a drummer, let me know. Okay.
We will. Sure. Now we have evidence said that.
Yeah, we have
Mark's not scared to join new bands. He'll always join.
As long as you pay me scale, I'll be all right.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, we're trying really hard to get a record made of this thing, which is it's becoming like a big ambitious situation, but it's fun.
It's just it suddenly like doubled and tripled down. So now
you're gonna get something cool out of it. Where can people find you online? We're gonna put all this stuff in the show notes, but just in case you've got your fingers ready right now to add social media accounts, what do we got going on?
Of course, we have a group. It's facebook.com/group/wehaveissuespodcast. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/wehaveissuespod. Mostly just find us on YouTube at youtube.com/wehaveissuespodcast, and we'd love to hear from everyone. It's just, I don't know, what we do over there is a lot of fun. We love being on this, so thank you so much for having us. Really awesome.
Yeah, it was an awesome time.
Absolutely. And your personal Twitters as well. You want to drop those handles real quick? Because they are great Steven. Follows, everyone.
Steven is twitter.com/struthiocamellisco.
Not quite. Maybe soon, though.
At Ostrich Colony Co. is for me.
Mine is twitter.com/AnthonyLafusi. My name.
Cool. And we will have links to those in the show notes. Thanks again, gentlemen.
What about your OnlyFans pages?
All right, so my OnlyFans is Struthio
Cockmelis.
Different context.
Both hiding their heads in sand all the time.
It's kind of his thing.
I just bury it wherever I can. No,
he's got like those little sand kits. He just like flops it in there. takes pictures.
Unfortunately, not 9 feet tall. But
anyway. All right, I think that hiding your head in the sand though, that is associated with fear, right?
Yeah, I think it's also a myth from what I've read. But as far as my OnlyFans is concerned,
I don't know if it's hiding your head for fear, or I always associate it more with like trying to stay ignorant, like not see what's going on.
I don't know why I thought the original myth though was for that ostriches hid their head in the sands because they thought they were hiding their whole bodies.
I thought maybe it would be
like a child would, you know, like peekaboo.
That's true. I think you're right. I think the association that then we make in like common
But maybe it's like a full circle trick. Maybe they put their head in the sand, and as soon as the lion gets close, they just kick him right in his throat. Like it's all part of the ploy.
Right? Hopefully no lions are around. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. This concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning.
One more thing about ostriches real quick. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, if you want to miscorrect us on that ostrich hiding your head and think sand, please do so. But please join us every Monday morning for a new episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform, and you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Speaking of our Patreon, thanks to our quiz daddies, Kyle, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Aaron, and David Holbrook. David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thank you to our Rumpel Snailskins, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike Camellus.
I thought you were going to do that. And Michael J.
Mike J is cool. I didn't have Mike Condor originally, but yeah, there was no J answers in this, but then so much, you know, Camellus going on. And Mark, we also have to thank some of our new proverbial lightkeepers. We actually have a slate of supporters coming in. So big thanks to those of you that are keeping the lights on proverbially, as well as our Rumpelstiltskins. We have a new Rumpelstiltskin, Alex. Thank you, Alex. Proverbial lightkeeper, John Lewis, checking in with some support there. Thank you, John.
It's about damn time, John.
Yeah, he said he's been meaning to do it for a while, and he finally did it, and we say, finally, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Proverbial lightkeeper Adam, as well, Warring Hearts on Twitch, and team captain Dylan returning. Dylan, we miss you, buddy. Dylan.
Yeah. Because I spit hot fire.
Exactly. So thank you to our new Patreon supporters. You'll have access to all of our bonus material now. There is a trivia commentary track for The Big Lebowski, several bonus quizzes of different themes. It's a good time. Just go over to Patreon, click on the bonus tab, and you can see all the bonus material there. And what else do we got here in our closing spiel? I lost my place. Hello. Yes. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or missed correction, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And we have a Facebook group you can join as well. Yes, just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.